right? Because it was after that, some period.
And we even have, in our very midst, our first resident curatorship, Jane Katznelson. Back there, please be sure to seek her out if you have questions about her encounter. We'll go into the site she's involved with in just a second. The following options are ones that have emerged as those that seem to fit the roster properties we have in there here in the county. There's sort of a profile for each one of these categories, and I'll go through that. A curatorship property basically is one that either has historical significance or is on a historical register and probably requires extensive restoration. And the way the program is set up for that, that is to be performed solely at curator expense. The next category of properties is those that are either rent-ready, could be the subject of a lease arrangement, or could be involved in what we're calling a bartered tenant. Both the curatorship category and that second category, there's sort of an asterisk tying you to the bottom, the footnote down there. It basically explains that in those type of tenantship arrangements, utilities are paid at tenant expense. So really, in either of those two, once there's a tenant in the property, there's no further expense to the county. Just kind of a profile of that second category, these are properties that have been or will be made safe and functional at a very nominal New Castle County expense. They can be rented for fair market rent. And that term is a term coined by the federal HUD office. And there's a circular out on the internet that gives for this region what fair market rent would be. So those properties could fall into that category. They're considered rent-ready, and you'll see some of those this afternoon. Properties requiring work above that safety and functionality standard that could be improved at tenant expense and perhaps leased at fair market rental value for a longer period is considered a lease arrangement, typically like one where a tenant would come in and refit out a structure for their purposes. Fair market rent on a lease arrangement property could be discounted in recognition of work done or ongoing service provided by the tenant that is to the county's convenience. For instance, an oversight at a location, some sort of stewardship of a property other than the structure that they're living in itself. Those would be examples where we could discount for fair market rent, and that would be considered a bartered tenant. The third category is demolition. That's a property that has no historical significance and requires work so cost prohibitive that the investment couldn't be recovered through either a lease arrangement or a bartered tenant arrangement in a reasonable amount of time. And lastly, we're reserving another category for further evaluation. That category at this point largely are properties that the county owns that we haven't succeeded in doing a detailed enough analysis to determine which category they fit in.
Great question, Mr. Chair.
Councilman Weiner.
Thank you.
And I also want to say Councilman Bill Bell will.
Could you go back to the previous slide, Mike?
Absolutely.
Thanks. Have there been... Are these newly created categories? I mean, they're logical and so forth, but is this something that the administration has come up with?
Yes. Okay. We knew we were proceeding with curatorship now for well over a year, and we didn't actually have nomenclature for that second category, but after we looked at what we had, we knew it sort of fell into one of those three postures.
Okay. Have any of the homes that were previously in the resident curatorship category now been recharacterized into the rent-ready lease arrangement, barter tenant, or demolition category?
Tentatively, yes.
Okay, and you're going to go through all that. Okay. And I guess that's all I need to know for now. Great, thanks.
All of the properties that we're going to talk about this afternoon have been assigned one of those statuses. Some are in the process of finding a home into one of those categories. Some of them that you're going to see this afternoon are now even in fact occupied, and there you may be aware of those, but in order to recap the entire effort of what we're doing with properties owned by the county, what we did was we first attacked the ones that had potential to bring revenue in and also ones that were in most dire need in the way of the curatorship program. So you're going to see those progress on those this afternoon. First one is the curatorship program. We have one successful alignment with a candidate. She's here today. It's the Woodstock House at Banning Park. We have some before and after pictures of progress that is being made. There's going to be a compliant restoration, historically compliant, that is. That'll be substantially complete within 5 years. You can see that cleanup and, in some cases, actual restoration is well underway. This house is located on Limestone Road in front of Carousel Park. We surveyed it and determined that it needed some cosmetic repairs, some electrical stuff, and pest control, of course. We're in the process of doing that work. It's going to cost all told about $3,500. The market rent for that property is a little over $1,300, so with the regular standard lease, it won't be difficult to recover the costs we put into it. That will be available for occupation by the second week of July.
Doctor's house, right?
Yeah.
It was.
We bought it.
And then bought that.
Yeah, but I thought we were selling that. That's all right.
We own the entrance to the park now.
This is located in Rockwood. The Porter's Lodge. It is ready for occupation now. In the process of surveying it, we learned that it had an underground fuel tank which was leaking. So we recovered that quickly, replaced it with an above ground tank in the basement of that building, did some repairs, some cosmetic things, and spent around $7,000 to get it rent ready. The fair market rent for that unit will be just over $1,300. It's ready for occupation now.
How big is it? How many square feet?
I think the two bedroom, I can't really tell you square feet off the top of my head.
Mr. Chair?
It can't be that much.
It's very small. It's under 1,500 square feet. It would never meet current construction standards. They're very steep, narrow steps. I used to be in there. We had a police officer living there two administrations ago. It's a charming little place. It's not for everybody.
You have to take baths, not showers, because if you were to shower, the ceiling in the shower is on the ceiling.
Yes.
But it don't bother all of us.
You're used to that, right?
No, I mean, all of us aren't going to reach that ceiling. I don't care how much it slants.
The next one is located on Marl Pit Road. We refer to it lovingly as the Lovett Farm. There's extensive repairs required there. It's kind of at a remote location. It was in a condition that's testimony to its need to have an occupant. First thing the county executive noticed when we went out to tour some of these properties was that all the gutters and downspouts were still off the building. And that led to water running down the profile of the building, getting in the basement, something we had to get after quickly before too much damage occurred. So we replaced all that. And our goal now is to get it occupied so that someone can literally take care of the property. In the meantime, some things happened over the course of the winter. Pipes are older and a material that's no longer used. Some of them actually burst and caused some damage. We're not sure the extent of the damage. Some of it will, in fact, be electrical. We learned in testing the fixtures that some of them were exposed to the water. So rather than advance the repairs past the effort we put into it to date to survey it, we're going to recommend that this thing be subject to a lease arrangement where somebody, possibly with a trade background or not, is willing to come in and sink some work into it in exchange for signing a lease commitment. The size of that property is very substantial. The picture really doesn't do it much justice. The room size is tremendous. Market value for it in its category is a little over $1,500 a month. This could be a barter tenant arrangement where if a tradesperson were to sign a lease where they have expertise at their disposal, they could possibly, be in a place to repair and rehab it. This is on Duncan Road, in fact, attached to the property at Delcastle Park. We refer to it as Duncan Road. It is rent ready currently. I have by the end of summer there, because this and one other property we actually own are the venues for some summer camp programs put on by the Department of Community Services. And rather than put that in the mode where they had to relocate on the short term, we considered the option of possibly reviewing its availability by the end of summer. We'll work with Department of Community Services so those programs aren't compromised in any way, possibly by securing them temporary quarters like a construction trailer or something else at some other location so those camps can continue. But in the meantime, by the end of summer, we'll give this and the other property a quick cleanup and it'll be ready for the market. It's a two-bedroom, but it's very spacious, actually. Its outward appearance, too, is deceptive. As a two-bedroom, its fair market rent is a little bit over $1,000 a month.
Question. Thank you. As the same approach for the street farmhouse where we're looking, we have, and again, looking to rent it to students, like maybe from the law school, so that we can preserve it for our summer camp program. Could the same approach be used for this if it's going to continue to be used for the summer camp program?
It's a possibility. It's a possibility. But we would, if the only thread to attracting an attendant, which would be hard to believe, but if that were the only thread against attracting an attendant, we can easily relocate those programs without compromising them so that the resident would be able to have that all year long.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of street, that's our next property on Wilson Road. It too will be rent ready by end of summer, pretty much not much more than a cleanup there. Again, we're waiting until the end of summer because of the camp programs. Larger home, its market rental is a little over $1,300.
Yeah, question, Mr. Chair.
Councilman Moore.
Yeah, this is a beautiful farm with a barn that's, we're using, you know, we've got wheelbarrows and things in there. I mean, obviously, I know there's no money to fix out off the outbuildings, but the fact that this house is vacant is just an invitation to a lot of problems on the park. And I know we've had tenants in there in the past. We didn't this past winter, and I know we want to keep it for the summer program, and I'm supportive of that. I did speak to the county executive, and he said, well, one of the things under consideration was to consolidate the summer camp program into the library next door, which would enable us to rent year round, you know, either way, but let's not let this building go vacant.
Councilman Diller is present.
The one on the screen next to Gardner's Cottage, located in Rockwood, it needs some work. We've characterized this as one that is ready to be leased and fitted out, or occupied by a barter tenant. There is historic value to this building, so it's a little bit more demanding in way of the requirements for restoration and rehab. But all the same, it's a nice location. It's got a lot of potential. Again, it's something that's let go. We don't want to get in the mode where we're letting our properties and our assets deteriorate.
When I was on the board.
Now, here's one I'm sure you're all aware of. It was actually in the paper in the last couple of weeks. This is a success story. We had courts that were cracking and needed rehab. We had a building that was dormant for probably 3 years. So what we did was we advertised for concessionaire. In this case, it happens to be somewhat similar to our characteristics of barter tenant because they came in. We have a revenue sharing arrangement with them. Came in, and not long after he moved in, he did some basic cleanup and rehab on the clubhouse, and he actually attacked the courts full on, and they're out there looking beautiful, looking showroom new. Did that at his own expense. He spent $100,000. So that's an example of a barter tenant. They brought something to the table. We continue to get revenue out of that arrangement. They did something to rehab and increase the value of the property that we own. And, he's going to make some money at it at the same time. So it's attractive to him as a concessionaire. Another success story. This has been now for a couple of years, but felt we had to talk about it because not only is it successful, they have remaining capital obligations that we have yet to explore and flesh out. But they're in this, Billy Casper, the concessionaire, is in this for the long term. They're doing well with the facility they have. They're talking about a lot of capital upgrades, so we're looking forward to getting into details with them. Another example of, a barter tenant, somebody comes, shares revenue with us, makes contributions to capital, and maintains the county's properties. Now these four locations are examples of ones we have categorized for demolition. We have demolition applications underway in all four cases. The one in the upper left is on Old Churchman's Road, just adjacent to the Connor Building, and where Special Services is. It's in bad shape, needs a lot of rehab, very costly. But in conjunction with that, one of the reasons it's being considered for demo is that it'll allow us to configure our parking area differently. So it's got a dual purpose, the demolition does, at that location. Now the one in the upper right and the lower left are both buildings out on the Hermitage, just west of Glasgow Park. They are identified as not being of historic value. They are two of between 35 and 40 other structures on that property, depending upon how you count them. Some very dissimilar structures are built together on the same foundation. Some that we've had out there to tour would count that as one building. Some might count it as three. But for now, we're undertaking just those two. That seemed like the most direct shot, not being of historic value. So they're on a permit for demolition. And on the bottom right, we have Camp Wright. And Camp Wright is a success story for us. We have someone living there who keeps custody and care of that property. And he lives in a house up on the hill, if any of you are familiar with that location. There's six or seven other buildings there that are completely run down and dilapidated. They've got asbestos in them. They're not being taken care of. So it is those properties that we are going to demo, in part because they're an eyesore, but also in part because there's going to be a greenway going through there. And, you know, with more people coming through, we don't want to have the attractive nuisance type of thing available. Now, that resident will continue to live there under his current terms. And in conjunction with the Greenway project, the gatehouse is off to the right. As soon as you come into the park area, will be its exterior shell will be restored as well. So it'll be pretty to look at.
Questions?
Councilman Cartier.
So is this all the demolition candidates we have?
So far.
Okay. My concern with this is, you know, taking up landfill space. And I don't know if the department's looked at bringing in another contractor that could undertake a deconstruction and reuse or recycling of materials in these buildings.
We are. There's actually one that our facilities guy, Bob Ferguson, is very familiar with. He's of Amish descent. In his trade, they come in and disassemble a building and reuse and redeploy a lot of the materials. So that's certainly
great.
An option we're considering.
Yeah, because, you know, especially Sunset Lake Road properties, it seems to me that they would be of the vintage that, you know, the structural wood in them would probably be of really high quality. And other aspects, copper, metals, cast iron, radiators, all those materials can be recycled. You know,
we'll do our best to exploit that in a positive way.
And they come in at no cost.
That's right.
Right? So they just take the property off our hands, recycle materials, they retail or disperse that to their wholesalers, whatever, and we're
it would greatly decrease or even in some cases eliminate demolition costs. So that's an avenue to explore.
Yeah. Okay.
Now these are properties, and they're not all stated here, but just to give you an example of what is not. The upper left two are examples of the outbuildings at Street. I think there's a total of five of them there. Again, attractive nuisance. They're not really being used for anything, but part of our evaluation will be, you know, are they structurally sound enough to store things, if we need to store things? If so, what's the minimum amount of repair we have to do to make it safe and functional? If not, they're likely going to turn up as candidates for demo. We've got the Vaughn property on Marl Pit Road, the Rourke property, Shawcross Lake Road, Bechtel, which was once a curatorship candidate, as was the Gregg House in the bottom right. We actually had been courting possible curators for the two of those locations, and either by way of, in one case, desired use was not going to end up conducive to a curatorship arrangement. And in the other case, one of the curators actually withdrew their offer because of some domestic challenges they were facing. Going to the bottom left, we've got the house at the Jester property on Grub Road, Tally Day House, of course. There's an outbuilding at the Jester property. You see some examples of the types of structures out at Hermitage. There's three examples there. Many of them, again, are just, you know, things that are waiting to either be vandalized or heaven knows what other, you know, bad fate could befall them. So we need to get them addressed and taken care of as soon as possible.
Question. I'm sorry to, there's so many of these in my district, Mr. Chair.
Councilman.
Yeah. Tally Day House. I mean, yes, it's may have historic value, but if we're not going to get a tenant in there, it is such a big attractive nuisance, and it's just bringing crime to the park and making the whole park unsafe. So, you know, I hope the due diligence you're describing will take place sooner rather than later? Are we talking about this calendar year or sometime past that? Or don't we know?
I mean, some of these will be moved into their category by this calendar year, and some of the ones we previously showed you will be occupied, I'm sure.
Okay,
or
so
be headed on their way to be occupied.
So Tally Day technically may be still resident curator, but there are no nibbles.
There's no nibbles right now, and we found really that the economy is not very conducive
right.
to a commitment like that.
But the Jester House, however, is in better condition, and I know our friends, High Point Dairy, have the property under contract long-term lease for their cows. Do we have any nibbles for the Jester property?
The nibbles that we've had, I know that they were exploring some possible road improvements with DelDOT in the event that they wanted to have some sort of commercial enterprise there. I haven't heard much from them in the last couple of months. I heard from both the family that has the livestock there and from DelDOT about what was being explored there, but it's kind of dying down.
Okay, because there is a DelDOT approved context sensitive design pathway on Grub Road for that whole section. It's still on the CTP. It's just not funded. Maybe it'll find some funding out of the $13 million that the governor has moving forward.
The Rourke property, that's a shed, isn't it?
It's really a tin pole barn.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I couldn't remember if it was a block or tin. The little building here was a milk house.
Disappointing.
Mm-hmm. Which isn't much, but the Vaughn house is really, everybody, it's neat.
Condominium is really up.
It's unique.
Right.
Architecture no for Southern Newcastle right. County. But the house is all falling. It's gonna fall apart. There's nothing really there.
That's a very complimentary picture of it, actually. I mean, if you got up close to it, it's literally splintering off.
But it, the gingerbread and stuff, it is a neat looking house. It just, I don't think it would be worth anybody spending any money to fix it up, because you could probably look right straight. It's a clapboard house that hasn't had anything done to it. It wasn't made of brick.
No, it's quite obvious.
The barns on that Hermitage, whatever, it's kind of neat to go there because it has the old bank barn and it was added on, which is probably this barn. Then they built a modern barn, then they built another barn, then they built a bull barn, and as they never got rid of anything and never redid any of the old buildings. And the houses that they showed to demolish were really just family members were living on that farm. Mm. But it didn't deteriorate when the county got it. It deteriorated when Capanna bought it and never had anybody in there.
Demolition by neglect.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
On the street outbuilding, the barn's being used by the county. It's a sort of a place to keep equipment for the county parks, and they're only using the ground level because the next level isn't secure enough. I know there's some other outbuildings that are literally falling down, but if the barn can be maintained, it certainly makes the house economically more viable because it's a beautiful setting.
And at Jester?
Pardon?
At Jester?
At Streed, and at Jester as well. The barns, both the places are in pretty good shape. The Streed barn, you know, from an educational point of view, not only is the barn intact, rare instance, but there's farm equipment in there that goes back to the turn of the last century, just sitting in there. And I mean, something ought to be done to archive it or save it or do something with it, because it's pretty good condition. It's like the day the Streed's moved out.
One of the things that I'll credit the county executive with, I mean, it's at his direction that we've done this very circumspect, we're not all the way through it yet, but very circumspect evaluation and kind of rostering of these locations, because, you know, there's not a lot of money, but we want to recognize the assets that we have, the value that those assets have to us, and how we can positively exploit them in some, you know, way that it's beneficial to the county. In some cases, the best thing to do with some of these assets is to rid ourselves of them. Mm-hmm. In cases of historical significance, it's going to be
I was, you know, with the ag equipment, they could ask the Delaware Ag Museum if they want. There's certain pieces they'll take and certain they won't.
Yeah, Ewald Street moved out and left all the farm equipment there. It's still sitting there like the day he just moved out.
If you go to up to Gettysburg, to Eisenhower's farm, they have equipment that was bought in 1960 was brand new because they walked away and left everything there. Councilwoman Patrick.
Thank you. I just want to say that this, going back to January, is a much more, I think, realistic vision, pathway, than what we heard in January. I mean, I think the categorizing within the different categories helps, and I think that you're seeing from some of your success stories that, and I think we'll continue to see that by us doing something rather than just dumping it all on somebody, is going to bring you more tenants. I just think we're in a much more realistic pathway right now.
Councilman Moretta.
Thank you. Mike, these properties that you're showing right now, are they costing us anything as far as maintenance?
In some cases, some of them are actually utility connected, and we only maintain the barest minimum of necessity for utilities, so we don't have, you know, pipes freezing and that kind of thing. A lot of them have absolutely nothing. A lot of them have no infrastructure in them.
So it's better just to raise them?
In some cases, it will be.
Good. I mean, if they're not worth keeping, then they're not worth keeping up. So they're not worth keeping on the list. You're better off taking them down. The other is, and I'm glad to see that Woodstock has been occupied, and I believe the people are here. That's a good thing because it'll keep some of the deterrents away of what was going on with the house. It's a good job you and your people are doing.
You know, you brought up, the first one was the Lovett Farm, or one of them, and the real shame of it is Lovett's moved out, the county bought it. With having nobody up there living on a lane a quarter mile long, it's a wonder it hasn't burnt to the ground. Because that's what most developers do, is make sure nobody's in the place and it gets demolished within a few years. But if you take most farms, you know, they'll have a tenant in there and they'll move the tenant, next thing the house will burn down.
All that farm equipment just sitting in the street.
But I mean, that it's a shame because they live
here. Sitting on shelves.
Just a quick review of what we discussed today. We've got one success story in resident curatorship program. Majority of the properties that we have evaluated are or will be put into a condition where they will be shortly evaluated for renting options, leasing options, including those with a barber tenant. Some of whom we've outlined for demolition. Those won't likely go backwards. Those are likely going to go stay in the demolition category and proceed to completion. And the things we still have to evaluate for best repurposing: Bechtel Street outbuildings, Greg House, Vaughn, Rourke, some of the structures at Hermitage, Jester, and Tally Day. Cool. Any other?
Yeah, when would it be practical to get an update? 6 months, a year?
Well, we've accomplished a lot in 6 months, so I would think in 6 months we'd have some more things to share with you.
That would be great. Thank you.
Yeah. Is there any other questions from council?
That's it.
Council. Smiling?
Yeah, I know this curatorship program and the desire of it goes back a long ways with Bob. Mm-hmm. I've been here for 7 years, and I just want to thank you. This has been the most understandable and attention-getting presentation I've seen yet on it. I mean, it's something you can wrap your arms around and actually see where something's going, what it looks like, and a path forward, even if it's demolition. Mm-hmm. At least it's a path forward. And I agree with Councilman Cartier. You reach out to some outfit out there that may want to take a break. As a teenager, I mean, I remember I worked for a company. We went down to Maryland, dismantled the barn, took the siding, brought it up, and redid the exterior of a restaurant. So, I commend you. You've done it. You counties have done a good job with this, and I think the updates will help us as we move forward.
Hey, Dave, I'll see you tomorrow night.
Don't keep bringing them back. Let them list it under demolition.
Kill them.
When he wants, it says gone. Just add that category one way or the other.
Like I said, you'll hear from us again in 6 months, but in terms of this presentation,
very good.
The Best Eyes in County Government had a role in this, not only in presentation review, but also in the process of evaluating the facilities. Our building maintenance people did, our property maintenance people did, and they all two will be involved in the final disposition.
Councilman Tackett and Councilman Bell are present. Councilman Carter.
Yeah, and just the idea of demolition is really not a idea that really should substitute new ideas for that, so that the idea is deconstruct and recycle. And because we can say to the public, we're doing everything possible as we go through this, not to take up, you know, large amounts of landfill space. We're going to recycle these materials. You know, once again, we are leading on the cutting edge of, you know, being a green county and really, you know, thinking smarter, doing things better, managing it better. So.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Any from the public? Is there a motion to
adjourn? Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Red clock land use.
I got an email from that meeting.